The IRS, it's in trouble again. First, auditors charge it enforced a new section of the tax code in a highly political way. Now there's a new report on excessive conference spending. But it's the same agency that answers millions of taxpayer questions personally every year, and that's found a way to handle 2.2 billion forms. For some perspective, we turn to Mark Everson. He was commissioner of the IRS for 4 years under President George W. Bush. He is now vice president of the Alliant Group. Good morning.
Good morning.
So let's take a look at the first allegation, the one that Congress has focused on over the past few weeks. How much of the type of activity designating a group that is looking at a special statute such as a 501c4 is actually visible to the top guy at the IRS, the commissioner himself?
Well, when you take on that job, obviously it has vast responsibilities, but you do attempt to learn all of the agency. Now, things are more important than others, but you get briefed up over time, and you learn to understand all of the different pieces. And frankly, congressional oversight is important. I testified some 50 times when I was at the service, and each time as you get prepared, you learn a great deal about the agency. So, yes, you understand a fair amount about it. You're not a tax expert in these areas, but you understand quite a bit about it.
So how does the organization itself, how does the IRS, what's the process by which it decides what its enforcement priorities are going to be? Does this go up that high?
Well, a lot of the issues are ongoing, and then you have to address new issues that come into force because of statutory changes. But when I was there, we went through a strategic planning process where we set four enforcement priorities, and one of them was to make sure there weren't abuses within the tax-exempt sector. So it was, I wouldn't say the C4s were discussed, but certainly the C3s were discussed at the time as a very important issue. We were concerned about abuses, and that came into my office for discussions from time to time.
Is deciding on the tax-exempt status of an organization always a controversial issue, no matter whether it's political or another organization?
I wouldn't say it's always controversial, no. I mean, some are very clean and simple to decide. But what has to happen is there need to be sensible, neutral criteria. And that wasn't the case here. What happened was just really inexcusable, using keywords that referred only to one side of the political spectrum as sort of the equivalent to racial profiling, if you will, and we just don't tolerate that.
Now, there is no sign yet, we don't know, except for some early coming in allegations about where this all originated from. And without trying to decide that one or go there, is there any legitimate protocol by which somebody, a group, a politician, an elected official, can ask the IRS to look at a particular group or set of groups? Is there any legal or ethical way of doing that?
Well, that happens all the time, Tom. We get letters when I was there. We get letters from individual citizens, from organizations, from people on the Hill, congressmen and senators. So all of those, they go in and they get looked at by career people as to whether they appear to merit follow-up, because many do and many don't as well. And they go through a process, and then some are followed up. And then what can happen is an organization can be put under audit just as it might be because of other reasons.
We're speaking with Mark Everson, a former IRS commissioner under President George W. Bush. Explain to me why this tax-exempt group is in Cincinnati in the first place, because it would seem logical that it would be in Washington along with other sort of major organizations and leadership.
Well, Emily, it really goes back to the processing of returns. The IRS historically had 10 large campuses with thousands of employees across the country. And that was, they were handling all the paper returns. And as the return filing has moved to electronic filing, you've needed fewer people in those campuses. So jobs were sort of repurposed, if you will. Units were moved in. There were concentrated, centralized. Different assignments were centralized in different places. And Cincinnati has the tax-exempt determinations unit. That makes a great deal of sense. You want the work centralized so that all the applications are viewed on a consistent basis, if you will.
But where does the policy come from for how that's done? Would that still be based in Washington?
Oh, sure. That has to come from Washington because you've got the folks who are at the top of the agency. They need to set the broad policy. And that was the second failure that happened here. You had problems, obviously, at the local unit level, where I would just tell you some people lost their minds, for lack of a better term. But then there was no follow-up for the longest time. It took 2 years to get these criteria corrected, and that was really inexcusable.
And in light of all this, would you, just in your personal opinion, would you think that it's time to perhaps move this Cincinnati office back to Washington so leaders can keep a closer eye on it?
No, not at all. It just needs to be properly managed.
All right, so let's look at the bigger picture here. I mean, how big a blow is this to the IRS in terms of its reputation, in your opinion?
Well, I think it's a very serious matter and disturbing to people across the country. In my current position at Alliant Group, I travel a reasonable amount and get around and talk to people, and they're extremely concerned. One person told me over the weekend, he said, geez, if you'd asked me a year ago to list 20 agencies and say which one was likely to have a major scandal a year from now, I would have had the IRS down as number 20. This totally shakes people's view of the agency. It's very unfortunate.
And, you know, before this scandal was revealed, we did a lot of reporting on hiring freezes and increased workloads at the IRS. Can this be attributed at all to just an agency that is simply overwhelmed, doesn't have the resources to do the job it's being asked to do?
It's certainly true that the workload is a challenge, and it could be considered a contributing factor. That does not in any way, shape, or form excuse the conduct in this measure. These people should have known better. The manager should have known better, and the front office should have been following this more closely than it was.
Now, the administration has brought in one of its own insiders, someone who is a former career official, Danny Werfel, coming up the financial chain to be the acting commissioner. And he hasn't, you know, there's not too much coming out yet. This is also new. But what do you think long-term the IRS needs in a commissioner to get past this?
Well, Danny worked for me 12 years ago when I was the controller. So he has a number of advantages in terms of knowledge of the government and ability to hit the ground running there. And he's got to learn the organization. He's got a lot to do. But you're correct. The president needs to appoint a permanent commissioner, and that individual needs to be vetted by the Senate. Needs to be. There's been a lot of conversations about Jim Comey in the last week. Need someone like Jim. I worked with Jim when I was at the service. Someone who's independent and a good manager who's going to be respected by both sides of the aisle, who can slowly but surely regain the credibility of the institution. It's very important. That appointment needs to be done promptly, and it needs to be someone very strong.
And just for reference, Comey is the president's prospect for FBI director.
Correct.
All right, and so that new commissioner then would need to do what? I mean, besides fix Cincinnati, there's probably bigger things to restore credibility at a much larger level, I would think.
Well, I think what needs to happen is it needs to be a lot of outreach to the Hill. Transparency is important here. What is perhaps the most damaging was the failure to correct the testimony, the initial testimony that was done in 2012, which was misleading, and then failure to correct it. This just further shattered the Congress's image of the whole service. So I think if the right person gets in there and works with the Congress and speaks candidly to the American people about what needs to be done, then progress will be made. But make no mistake, this will take years to crawl out of this situation.